All right, thank you. I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 17 this morning. We're going to talk on a little bit on a subject. It's not one I like, but it's often found in the Bible. And I think it's something we probably neglect quite a bit today. In Matthew 17, the Lord Jesus has taken his closest disciples, and some of them did seem to be closer to him than others. He's taken them up on the Mount of what we often call the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transfigured before them. They saw him in his glorified presence. They saw Moses and Elijah come also in glorified bodies and talk to him about what was coming, which was the crucifixion of Jerusalem. But when he comes down off the mount, he finds something's been going on with the rest of the disciples down at the bottom of the hill. And I'm going to pick that up, if you'll look at it in verse 14. Verse 14, I'll start there. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man dealing down and saying, he's come down from the hill now. You remember Peter, James, and John was up there with him. And he says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now here's my theme. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer, and if you're reading the right Bible, it says unfasting. My subject this morning is a little bit of some questions on fasting. Now, you see here from the connection, it goes with prayer. Not every time you pray, but it is part, often in the Bible, connected to prayer. Now, I'll talk a little bit about what it is. They tell us, and I think probably so, that some fasting is even good for health. Now, you know what it is. It's quit food for a while. And when you do, you know you've done something. You got inside feelings that's going to tell you you've done something. And so that's why I don't like it. Somebody said the first three letters in the word diet is die. And there's a lot of truth to that. And you feel like that when you start to do this thing. But you can imagine, and I remember this being taught to me in seminary 100 years ago, the illustration how that, I say this carefully, but the body needs to clean itself. The Dead Sea was a good example. You can go over to Israel and see where the headwaters start up in the mountain and finally go on right down the Jordan River and finally empties into the Dead Sea. And it's the Dead Sea because it don't empty out, because it just keeps collecting. And some of you have been over there. The water is so thick with minerals and salts and so forth that you can float. If you go out there, you'll float. Your head won't go under. And you don't have to go under because that strong stuff in it will burn the tender skin. And it's too strong. But the reason it's the Dead Sea, it's taken in and not given out. And sometimes even our health is about the same as that. And most of you understand that's a very important thing. But now all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, you got you got fasting going on. So it's not just a thing that happened in the Old Testament. You have it referenced a number of times in the New Testament. Now, we can say all things about the health thing. I've heard statement that folks dig their grave with their fork. You know, a few cliches like that that we talk about. If you listen to Lester Roloff on the radio, he'll get you under conviction about everything. I told my wife not too long ago, I said, honey, why don't you skip some of the pork and just get beef? Well, I've always loved pork chops. They're hard to beat for taste. But I've been listening to Lester on the Roloff on the radio, and he about had me convinced to quit everything. But there is a lot of stuff, health-wise, probably not good for us. Can we eat it under grace? We can eat it if it don't eat us. I mean, man, it's legal. Go ahead and do it. Catfish is a scavenger, eats the junk off the bottom, but don't they taste good? So, I mean, we thank God for grace. And thank God for the Lord telling Peter, you know, don't you call unclean what I've called clean. And we recognize the illustration there. Now, you got whole religions built around what you eat or don't eat. And the sad part is they make it a work. They think they're earning privilege with God, and that's not right. It don't matter about your diet, whether you eat junk food or healthy food, that don't get you saved or unsaved spiritually. And I understand that. Now, it might get you to heaven quicker if you just live off of junk food, at least what they tell us. But with all that said, fasting is a Bible. It is a Bible principle, and we do ignore it quite a bit. Now, there's a lot of examples in the Bible. For instance, you find in the Bible, you'll find heathen people, nations, that you find them fasting different times. For instance, if you were to go to, I don't think we'll turn there, but if you were to go to Daniel 6, you'll find where Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, remember? Now, you remember how he got thrown in there? Because his enemy wanted to find occasion against him because of his faith and his praying. So they tricked the king, King Darius, into getting a law, the law of the Medes and Persians, that couldn't be changed. And that law was if any man asked a petition of anybody other than the king, and they played to the old king's pride and ego. Yeah. Next thing you know, he signed a law that Daniel couldn't obey because he prayed three times a day. And Daniel kept praying, the Bible says, as of four times, even after he knew the law had been passed. He had a choice between God, his God, and the pagan law that had just been passed. He kept on praying. Sometimes we preachers get accused, and I've been accused a number of times of this. Well, it's the law. There is a difference in man's law and God's law. Amen. And Peter said over there, you judge whether it be right, whether we obey God or man. And while Paul tells us we're to live as good citizens, we're to do our best to live under the magistrates and under the rules, and we all do that. But sometimes there is such a conflict, and we're coming to that day real big now. Real conflict is whether we're going to obey God's law or man's law. The day may come that I give an invitation on a Sunday morning, and you have a couple of perverts come down here to join the church, and I'll say no. And when I do, we'll probably have some legal trouble over it. That's already happened. There's already a court case or two going. Many years back, it happened to one of my friends within 20 miles of here. And so-called transvestite came in, a man pretending to be a woman. And the preacher rejected him when he came for membership. It was already planned because the TV cameras had already come into this little church to see what would happen. And interesting sometimes. Now, right now, it'd probably be a little different. But then, it was a little bit early. And so when the papers and the news, and it did hit the news that night, he was trying to crucify the preacher in church, the majority of the population said, no, they're right. I don't know if they'd say that now. Things have really changed since those days. So the publicity didn't hurt the church. It probably helped it back then. But that time is going to come again, no doubt about it. But here the old king got trapped with a law that caused him to have to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But he knew he'd made a mistake. He couldn't change the law. He had to let it happen. And if you read it over in Daniel 6, when Daniel went in, the king spoke in faith of the true God and said, your God will take care of you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he really did. And then it says he went home that night. He didn't listen to music. He didn't eat. And he didn't sleep. The king. All night long, he was praying and fasting for Daniel. And early the next morning, he goes and cries out to the lion's den to see if Daniel's all right. And then he threw the enemies in the lion's den. And the lions break their bones before they ever landed. And the scripture tells us there. But here was a heathen king that fasted all that time. And you have many others. For instance, you remember the story of Jonah, don't you? Jonah was supposed to go down to Nineveh. And he went down there preaching after he had a whale ride, after that whale regurgitated him. You can look that up if you want to. Threw him up on the shore, and he run into the city preaching. And when the king heard the message of Jonah, he repented, he fasted, and then put on sackcloth. Kind of made Jonah mad because God spared him again, spared the city for a while, remember? And Jonah didn't really want him spared. We have to be careful as Christians. We get so upset at the enemies of God, sometimes we forget God loves them anyhow and wants to see them saved. We have to watch out for that. You have all kinds of stories in the Bible. You have Esther. Remember the story over there where the Jews were genocide was about to be committed against the whole race of the Jews, and how the plot of evil Haman came about. But you remember when Mordecai sent the message to Esther and to do something. Remember what she did. She asked him to go back to the people and form a fast. Yeah. Then she said, I and my maidens will fast. And so this was something serious, really, really something serious. And they fasted. And of course, you know the rest of the story, how God brought the victory. Jesus himself. You read about Matthew 4, how he fasted 40 days and nights. Now, I've known some people that literally, outside of water, fasted. You can't live 40 days without water, but you can without food. It won't be no fun, but you can. And I've known one or two that have fasted for 40 days. Jesus actually did that. But in the fleshly body that he had, he was weakened. And when Satan come to him to tempt him, he come to him hoping in that weakness that he'd violate the rules. And he asked him to, said, if you be God, turn these stones into bread, remember? Yeah. And Jesus said, nope, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And so you have the Lord Jesus Christ fasting. Now, what an example to us that there must be something real about it. And while it's not a fun subject, in our text here, the disciples couldn't cast out the devil, out of this lunatic boy. And Jesus makes this statement down in verse 24. Howbeit, he's talking about the faith that would move a mountain now. He says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now here was a situation where they didn't have the power with God, and they were fighting the devil over this boy and that he'd possessed, and they didn't have the power. And Jesus said, the reason is you didn't pray. This kind of power, he was saying, and maybe not just the power to cast the devil out of the lunatic boy, but also he mentioned something really big there. He says, move a mountain. Now, that's a pretty big idea. up there where my son's pastoring and where Brother Buttons is at, there's some mountains that need moving. And you know what? I can drive through them, and I can't imagine myself asking one of them to remove. That's a pretty big challenge. Now, I've seen God move some mountains, but to me, they were mountains. They might not have been dirt and rock, but they're that big a challenge. You're looking at one of them right there with the organ, that hotel building. To get it fixed up looked like a mountain, I'll guarantee you. And so many other things that we could point to. But the power is what he's talking about. To have that kind of power with God doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, why would that be? One reason is because every time we want to do something for God, the bigger it is or more important it is, the more the devil's going to fight us. So we got a spiritual warfare that goes on. And we learn a lot from the Bible when we get to thinking about that. For instance, in Daniel chapter 9 and in Daniel chapter 10, and Daniel's a great book to see a spiritual warfare in. And you see over there where Daniel had been fasting and praying for 21 days and had not got the answer through. But when the heavenly being shows up with the answer, he says, "We heard you right at the first, but we couldn't get through the enemy forces. The prince of Persia withstood us, couldn't get through." Now, Daniel could have quit after a week or 2 weeks, but he was still praying at the end of 3 weeks. And there was a real spiritual warfare raging above him that he could not see. And fasting and praying throws us into the arena, so to speak, with some mighty powerful evil forces. And it's a reality. It really, really is. And the warfare is big today, folks. Now, I give you many stories on a personal level of people. I know a preacher right now. If I called his name, most of you'd know him. One of the greatest he's not young anymore, but when I'm thinking about the story, he was. Now, think about he and his brother surrendered to preach about the same time and going to Bible school about the same time. And I was just a little ahead of them, and we were preaching around as somebody would let us. And on a particular night, I wasn't there, but I was scheduled later, I believe, that week at a church not too far from here. And the young man was up preaching. And some of you folks would not have any understanding of this. I'm going to explain it this way. Probably if you never got in a race car and you was put in one and you had to drive it, you'd probably be a little nervous, a little bit. You'd probably have your blood pressure going up. You'd probably be quite concerned how it was going to turn out. Well, let me say to you, first time a young man gets up to preach, that's the way he feels. He is... I've had young men preach for me before, and they'd say, "Preacher, how'd I do? I can't remember a thing I said." And they're not joking. They're not joking. It's pressure, and it's stress, and it's fear. All those things. No doubt about it. Well, this young man was up preaching, and he didn't even get halfway through. And he lost his mind. He literally come apart. Now, he stood up there and he started counting his fingers. 1, 2, 3. He started babbling. I'd take him out of the pulpit and take him to get treatment. He was in a bad way. He was hospitalized for a while. The doctors thought he'd never come back, that he'd lost his mind, he would not come back. But his mother, which was a preacher's wife, and that preacher taught me some in seminary. Her and that preacher dad went to praying, but his mother went to fasting and praying. And it was something like 60 days, and she didn't eat a bite. She just prayed and fasted. and God brought him out of it. Now, that's quite a testimony I personally know about. You say, well, God would have anyway. No, she felt led of the Lord to do that, and I just believe if she hadn't, that boy was just about gone. And there's other stories, and you could tell me stories like that also. But you know what? The greatest thing on that mother's mind and heart was her son, to the place that she was willing to give up food, she was willing to give up anything. And only God, and the doctor said that, said only God can help. And she got a hold of God, and he did help. So many stories like that we could tell. But let me say this about fasting. Fasting is not something we go around and do and brag about. Yeah, it'd be worth turning to these scriptures. We're right close here in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And of course, we're talking about the Pharisees and how proud they were to be religious. I've met a few folks like that. Matthew chapter 6, pick it up in verse 16, I believe I'm looking for. Jesus is talking, and he says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Disfigure their faces, yeah, paint yourselves up. Oh, look at him. He is so religious. He is so devout. He's fasting. Big sign on their face, so to speak. Appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. Do you understand what he just said? What was their reward? The praise of man. Somebody saying, oh, look, they are so devout. Boy, you got to watch out for that. Preachers see that quite often. Well, not quite often, but sometimes we see folks that will do something if they get publicized, if they get a pat on the back, and if they don't, they get the feelings hurt. And that's ridiculous, because see, God judges you by your motive. Did you do it unto God, or did you do it for appearance before men? Boy, that's something you got to watch out for. I think honor to whom honor is due. I think the word of praise is right sometime. But be careful that you don't just get praise down here and not have any when you get to heaven, because you chose it here. I remember a guy coming to me one time because I had said something in the building from the pulpit. I thanked some guy for something he'd done. And as soon as the service was over, this fellow come to me and he said, what about me? You didn't say nothing about me. Well, it wasn't the same thing. And I'm a little mean sometimes. I have to admit it. And I was probably a little bit to him. But with a smile, I said, you know, I done you a bigger favor by not saying anything. He said, what? I said, I may have stole his reward, but you still got yours. He went away grumbling. He didn't like that answer. But that's what the scripture here teaches. You get it before men or you get it before God. And we have to be careful about that. So if we're going to fast, let's don't, as Jesus goes on and talks about it, we don't want to blow a trumpet before us. We don't want to paint up our face and say, hey, look at me. Notice what he says in verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means clean up, shave if you need to, take a shower if you need to. Don't look like you slept on the bridge that night. And you'll find some people in the Bible that did not anoint themselves for several days and so forth, like Daniel, in a right way. But what he's saying is don't appear to fast. Go ahead and do your bodily hygiene just like you would the day before you started fasting. So that's what he's saying here. And says, wash thy face, not thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee, what? Openly. Do it unto God, not just for praise of man, is what he's saying. While it is a Bible truth, while we are encouraged to fast, while it goes along with prayer, it's not that we're supposed to do it to brag on it, to show off, or to get praise of others. So that's what he's talking about here, not bragging about it. Now, there's special times that may call because of the urgency, because of the crisis, because of the need. There's special times that we probably ought to do like Daniel and others, set a time, or like that mother I'm talking about, and pray. Now, with long periods of fasting. In Daniel chapter 9, before you get to chapter 10, where it was three weeks before the answer come in chapter 10, but in Daniel chapter 9, he gets his answer pretty quick. But he's going to the Lord about a special request. He'd been reading the book of Jeremiah in Daniel chapter 9, and he discovered by reading Jeremiah's writings, which is in your Bible, you can read in Jeremiah. Daniel was reading in Jeremiah how that the captivity of the Jews was supposed to come to an end at the end of 70 years. And he realized it's getting close. Now, he could have took this attitude. He could have said, okay, God, you said it, it's going to happen. And maybe it would have. But Daniel saw it as a great need to go to the Lord in prayer. So he started praying and fasting because he saw the time was about up for the Jews to be able to go back to Jerusalem, to go back home. And it was in that condition where God did send him a heavenly messenger, sent him Gabriel, I think, in this case, and let him know it's going to happen. Now, he was praying over a special occasion, something that was big. The Jews going back home to rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall, big. And God honored that. Now, I'm on bridge from that just to say this, and I may say some more about it this morning. I think we had a real special time in America right now. And I would encourage you to see that it might be pleasing to God if the people that knew him, like Daniel, bring this thing before. I may say this again this morning. Thank God for you to come to Sunday school and then have to hear me again. But a lot of us have said, at 9/11, a lot of people got excited. A lot of people got saved, got scared, and they got saved. It didn't last long. A few weeks, they were back to, I think some folks genuinely got saved, but the population got back to normal real quick, real quick. What was normal was not good, but they got back to it real quick. And I've said, and a lot of preachers have said, wonder what God is going to let hit us to wake us up. And while we've had some bad things happen, we've not had anything on the order of 9/11. But we may not recognize it, but we're fixed to undergo a change in our nation, big. And it's not a good change if the liberal, and that's even too good a word for, gets in. We are fixing to see some changes that affect our churches and our ministers all across the board. Now, I'm getting into my sermon now. I've got to leave it alone, but I'm just wanting to say this is big enough to pray about. It's even big enough to fast about. It really is, folks, because it's going to have long range effect on our freedoms and a lot of freedoms that we take for granted. It's really, really is going to be a shocking thing. Say 5 years down the road, maybe not even, I mean even a year down the road, but 5 years, big time. So I guess I taught this morning just to encourage you. I'll finish it up basically in the sermon this morning. But it is biblical, It is the right way, not to show off, not to say, look at me, but to show God we're serious about something. And if you add fasting to prayer, you say, well, how will I remember to pray every time you get hungry? You'll be reminded. Amen. All right, Brother Herbert, you got my note there to see what we done in Sunday school this morning. Okay, a little over 800 in Sunday school, 816, and we appreciate that. Stay with us about 7, 8, 9 minutes. We'll get the preaching service started.